You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We're focusing on spring vacations for this issue. The idea of spring break may be common with those of you who have kiddos on a break from school. And you may also think of college students who really made the tradition of spring break in Florida popular starting back in the 1960s. But what about the adults? You know, me and you. We need a spring break too, even if it's only a virtual vacation. That's our cover story this week. And we want to know, is it like taking a fake break? Or could this be the future of traveling? Terry Barr talks with an expert about the benefits and why this could be the way to sample some of the sights you hope to see someday soon. Amanda Nimmer says work makes for a very stressed and cranky person. She shares why it's important to take those vacation days, even if it's just a staycation filled with the comforts of home. We have stories this week on a really cool Star Wars memorabilia exhibit in New Wisco that you might want to travel to this spring. Trees are being tapped for their delicious syrup across the state. And since it's the month of March, Diabetes Alert Day. Of course, Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week, which is absolutely perfect for this issue. And later, Wisconsin musician Sam Ness tells how his travels around the world have inspired him to write some pretty incredible songs. We'll hear a few too. First, the past couple of months have been a whirlwind of executive orders and governmental action to disband organizations or change the business of the United States government. Just this week, the League of Women Voters of Appleton, Fox Cities, and Winnebago County officials pushed back against what they are calling a power grab by the Donald Trump administration, a power grab that threatens the fabric of democracy. I open up this edition of New Wisco Weekend with that story. Executive orders have made the news since President Donald Trump took office in January. Some of those orders are seen as unconstitutional. The League of Women Voters of Appleton Fox Cities and the League of Women Voters Winnebago County came together to encourage Fox Valley voters to contact their federal legislators about what they see as a crisis for our democracy. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan grassroots organization that works to protect and expand voting rights and ensure everyone's representation in our democracy. Linda Biella, president of the League of Women Voters for the Appleton Fox Cities area, told the crowd that on the 105th anniversary of the founding of the U.S. League of Women Voters, the national organization, the chapters from all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico sent an urgent letter to all congressional leaders.
Writing on behalf of over a million League members, the letter demanded that Congress exercise its Article I constitutional authority to, quote, protect the rule of law, defend the Constitution, and end the overreach by the executive branch of the government, unquote.
Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution gives power to Congress, the branch of the government closest to the people, as it's comprised of elected senators and representatives.
Congress is granted the power to create our laws, the power of the purse, and oversight over the other branches. Federal government agencies created by Congress cannot be dismantled without the consent of Congress. Money appropriated by Congress cannot be unilaterally paused or impounded by the executive. We demand that our congressional representatives, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, honor their oaths and protect us, their constituents, from this breathtaking power grab by the executive branch of the government.
Margie Davey, the president of the League of Women Voters of Winnebago County, listed the executive orders that they see as unconstitutional. An attempt to end birthright citizenship in the United States in violation of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The firing of 17 inspectors general without giving Congress the required 30-day notice. the ongoing attempt to dismantle federal agencies such as USAID, the Consumer Protection Bureau, and the Department of Education, which all require notice to and input from Congress before such actions can be taken. Allowing private citizens who've not been elected or subject to the advice and consent of the Senate to access private sensitive data of the American people, and the attempt to reduce the federal workforce without providing employees the due process to which they're entitled.
While Congress, the executive branch, and the courts each have balanced powers within our constitutional system, it is us, the people, who have the ultimate authority to protect our democracy. We must fight for it and demand that our congressional representatives uphold the rule of law and protect our constitutional rights.
Davey and Biella signed a letter with that message and sent it to our area senators and representatives. Members of the League of Women Voters then encouraged all citizens of the Fox Valley to write their congressmen and senators and ask them to uphold the Constitution and protect democracy.
What we're trying to do today is remind everyone that we elect people to go to Washington to represent us, and we are asking you to contact them because the voice of the people should be the strongest voice that's heard.
For more on this story and addresses to send your letter to your congressmen or senators, please visit WISS.FM or WGBW.FM and see our story there. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. The franchise started in 1977. People crowded the theaters to see a space opera about a young man and a ragtag band of rebels fighting against an oppressive empire. Now, almost 50 years later, the franchise is very much beloved. And Conrad Krieger shares with us how you can immerse yourself in Star Wars memorabilia right here in New Wisco.
Star Wars is a very popular movie franchise with 12 films and many TV spinoffs. And with that comes a lot of memorabilia and art. And you can see all of that art in one place. Katie Compton, the marketing director for the Malva Cultural Center in De Pere, shares more information on the Unofficial Galaxies exhibit.
So it is a collection of Star Wars memorabilia, but it is a private collection. So this this is in no way connected to Disney or Lucasfilm. This is a private collector, but when you see the collection, it is outstanding. Well, so we get it through an organization that basically produces exhibits. So they have different exhibits that they produce, and this is one of them. So I don't know how that connection works on his end, but I mean, if you think about it, we hear the story, and he started collecting after he saw the first movie in like 77. And he started with toys, and then he went to like different markets. So there's toys from all the world. And then as he got older, it was, costumes. I could not even guess, because the other day I was there and we put in a life-size land speeder. So that alone, it's from the studios over in the UK that they filmed the original three in. So that alone, I can't even imagine.
Wow.
I'm bad with the price of my own car. I can't imagine what a land speeder, like an original, would cost more than my car. I assure you that.
Compton shares the price of admission.
So it's $20 per person for adults. For kids, it's $10. And then we have discounts for like military or seniors, which is $15.
Great.
We also have, and I think we talked about this last time I was on, the Museums for All. So if you are on certain state benefits, we let you in for free. So you bring like your SNAP card, you bring in your Forward Health Badger Care card, and you show those an ID, and you can actually get in for free.
Unofficial Galaxies runs from February 1st to April 27th, but it's more than just walking through an exhibit. On special days, you can go see movies, make art, and cosplay.
Unofficial Galaxies is going to be here through the spring. Partnering with it, we're actually starting our Star Wars movie marathon. So that's going to start February 7th. And we are showing a new movie every weekend. So they're not all in one day, but they're every weekend all the way through the exhibit until like April 19th. We're showing the whole Skywalker saga. And then we're showing Solo and Rogue One. And then we are ending the series with Spaceballs, doing an event on February 8th from about 11 to 4. And we're calling it the Rebel Rebellion. And we're encouraging people to dress up as their favorite characters. Yeah. You can come. We ask that you don't bring blasters, but you can bring lightsabers. So dress up, come see the exhibit. We are going to have an art creation class. So we're going to create galaxy inspired art. We're going to have some galaxy inspired food in the cafe. So it should be a really fun event.
Compton talks about what you can expect from the Malva Cultural Center after Unofficial Galaxies and what kind of cool exhibits you can go into.
Then we have our transition period again. The next exhibits we have in, one is called Top Secret, and that one is going to be about spycraft. And so you are going to get kind of like clues throughout the exhibit, and you need to figure out if somebody's actually a suspect in a crime.
Fun.
And then on the, we're going to have two at one time. The other one's going to be about navigation, and we're going to go through different parts of navigation. We have some simulators. The last one we're having this year is called Life in Space. And so that one is coming with a bunch of space stuff and simulators with that one as well.
That was Katie Compton, the marketing director for the Malva Cultural Center in De Pere, who joined Mine Own the Mayor weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Good morning from New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Diabetes Alert Day takes place in the month of March, so this is a very good time to get tested if you have risk factors. Here's Melissa Kay.
More than 135 million people in the U.S. have diabetes or prediabetes. One in five adults don't even know they have the condition.
The complications from diabetes can range from numbness and tingling and potentially losing limbs. We also see kidney damage, damage to your eyes, wherever there's very small blood vessels, the blood sugar, when it's elevated, can cause damage to those areas.
That's Alicia Natsky, a family nurse practitioner at Aspirus Health. She said it's important to understand the difference between diabetes and prediabetes.
Think of prediabetes as a warning sign for your health.
If you know you're at risk, you can make changes to stop the condition from developing.
With the implementation of those lifestyle changes, you can reverse the consequences and not develop type 2 diabetes.
These lifestyle changes include increasing daily activity and focusing on healthy meal choices, including lean meats and vegetables. Talk to your healthcare provider for guidance or to get tested. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Our cover story with Terry Barr is coming up. Can you really feel like a tourist even if you're using technology to travel virtually? But first, traveling this spring? AAA reports more than 30% of Wisconsinites are, and the Motor Club is also tracking where you're going. Orlando, Florida is currently the top destination in the United States, while Rome, Italy is most popular for those of you who travel internationally. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, maple syrup and Amanda Nimmer's commentary. But first, Pete Schwabba has our classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's New Wisco Weekend theme is vacation, so let's gas up the wagon Queen Family Truckster and head west to Wally World. That's right, this week's classic pick is the original Vacation that came out in 1983. The story follows the ever-optimistic family man Clark Griswold's quest to show his family a good time at any cost. Clark is played by Chevy Chase and his wife Ellen played by Beverly D'Angelo. Along with their two kids Rusty and Audrey, they leave their suburban Chicago home and head west to America's greatest theme park, and along the way experience everything from stinky backseat feet to Cousin Eddie's decrepit farm and survive Clark's Evel Knievel maneuver in the aforementioned family truckster. In one of the more memorable scenes, the family agrees to drop Ellen's Aunt Edna off in Phoenix, which doesn't exactly go as planned.
Crack open those sandwiches I got at the gas station. I'm so hungry I could eat a sandwich from a gas station.
There's one for everyone.
Oh, Audrey, wake up Aunt Edna. It's time for her to eat and take her pill.
Please get off me.
Mom, tell Audrey to quit pushing on Edna on me.
I'm sick of her lying on me all the time.
Be quiet. Eddie.
Honey, it's only a few hours to Phoenix. Let her be. She's fine.
She's not fine.
She's fine. Don't be silly.
She's not fine, Clark. She's dead.
The Griswolds eventually make it to Wally World, but find it's closed. In the original ending, Clark and his family hold Roy Wally and his family hostage. The ending was scrapped, but recreated for Christmas Vacation. Vacation was Harold Ramis' directorial follow-up to Caddyshack. The script, written by the legendary John Hughes, was based on one of his short stories called Vacation 58, an article he wrote for National Lampoon magazine. Chevy Chase did his fair share of improvising in the film, including Clark's sandwich dance for Christie Brinkley, his send-off to Aunt Edna at her impromptu backyard funeral, and in the scene between Clark and the State Patrol motorcycle cop who pulls the Griswolds over for tying the dog to the bumper. The scene was not supposed to be improv, but turned out that way due to the fact that both Chase and actor James Keach were really tearing up because they were trying so hard not to laugh. It's hard to picture any other actor playing Clark Griswold throughout the franchise, but for the original Vacation, actors Richard Belzer, Robert Klein, and Bill Murray were considered for the role of Clark. Robin Williams was actually considered for the role of Cousin Eddie. And a quick fun fact before I go. In case you're wondering, the W in Clark W. Griswold stands for Wilhelm, but you don't find that out until one of the later Vacations. So with summer right around the corner and a new Wisco weekend vacation theme, what better time to check out National Lampoon's Vacation? It's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Are tapped all across the state. Maple trees, that is. And there's a unique entrepreneur producer right here in our woods. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has the story.
After a quick little search on Google, I called up the closest maple syrup producer in Wisconsin that I could find. And what do you know? Just down the road in Marathon County, a place popped up called Skinny Sticks. The name was cute, it stuck, so I called. Now, little did I know, this was about to be quite an inspiring and intriguing conversation. But first things first, I had to ask what type of weather is really, truly ideal for getting the taps to run.
You really just need the ground to be thawed enough for the roots to give up their sap. And warm weather during the day and cold at night will keep the trees from budding out too quickly, which gives you a 14 to 21 cook day here in central Wisconsin.
In some years, the window to cook may be longer or shorter, like last year, for example. With the mild, warm conditions much of the winter, it gave them their best year ever.
I made 40, 55-gallon drums of maple syrup in February. I made 35 in March, and I only got to go 2 weeks in April before the trees started budding. And in those 2 weeks, I made 25 additional barrels of maple syrup.
So he's got about 6,000 trees on 70 acres and is using tubes threaded through the woods, which are connected to the tap on the tree. It's a family-owned business, and that's Mitchell Hoyt. He's the man that started it all, and it began by an idea sparked at an expo show and meeting new people.
He asked me if I drink, and I said, well, I don't really like beer, but I like a glass of wine once in a while, an old-fashioned. Well, I got something you like, so I went over to his table. He pulled this jug out from under the table. Poured me a glass, and it was a little cup of maple wine. I'm like, whoa. My marketing wheels started spinning, and I'm like, I got maple trees in my backyard. I could make some of this. So I asked him if he'd tell me how he made it. I said, I can make this. I think I could sell this if I develop this. I just pictured this high-end, high-quality maple wine in all these fancy restaurants with the dessert wine and stuff.
And that first year, Mitch made 50 gallons of maple wine, and he had extra sap left. So he asked a friend if he wanted it.
Might as well just cook that down on your stove. I said, well, I never made maple syrup before. How will I know if it's syrup? He said, well, you boil water on the stove next to your sap, And as your sap, water evaporates off your sap, it becomes more and more dense. It holds more heat. And so once it gets 7 degrees above the boiling point of the water you got on the stove, you know, you have perfect syrup.
And that's what he did, made his first batch and handed it out to neighbors and friends. Their response, don't give this away, we'll buy it from you. And it sure sold right as he made it.
Some people who bought it from us that year gave some away as gifts, and one of the people that got a gift was Greeby's in Wausau, a little kitchen store. They ended up reaching out to me and telling me, hey, we'd like to sell your syrup in our store.
And what followed was a true business built from the ground up, quite literally. Mitch got his license, insurance, the whole deal. And after running product himself, store to store, and sales pitch after sales pitch, he runs into the right people. Distributors want to try his syrup, and he starts shipping product to Salt Lake City, Florida followed, Georgia, Illinois, and countrywide. It's all still made out of Wisconsin only.
Be known for dairy, but we really should be known for our maple syrup too. Ours has so much more flavor than the East Coast and Canadian products. I think it's because we don't cook at such a high altitude. We cook at a higher air pressure, which causes our syrup to be a little bit darker, cook a little hotter, and develop more flavor.
But how does he keep up with that demand now?
We discovered there was over 200,000 gallons of maple syrup produced within 25 miles of our home that was being shipped out to Vermont and New Hampshire, where it was being blended East Coast and Canadian products that was losing its Wisconsin identity.
Locals working together, keeping it Wisconsin. This is what it tastes like.
Around here, in central Wisconsin, up here by Marathon, it's typically, you'll get an undertone of either honey, butter, vanilla, caramel, naturally occurring underneath the maple. And those flavors, like I said, are based on your tree genetics, your soil type.
And maple syrup is not just for pancakes. I'll tell ya, you should try it as a sweetener in coffee, tea, oatmeal, cereal, and you can even use it in meat glazes. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Wisco Weekend returns with your cover story. The idea of taking a virtual vacation is growing in popularity, making it easy to tour museums, exhibits, even zoos around the world. But what do you really know about it? We'll share what we've learned when we return right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. A recent survey shows a 30% increase in travelers being interested in the idea of taking a virtual spring break. But our Terry Barr wanted to find out, if you aren't dipping your toes in the sand, are you really on vacation? She talks with a travel expert who says, thanks to technology, the benefits only continue to grow. Here's Terry with more.
What if you didn't have to leave your couch to actually be on a vacation? What an idea. And I am happy to be able to talk with Hillary Mattson. Hillary is the head of Yugen Earthside Travel. And Hillary, I think what we're actually talking about here is virtual tourism. What is that?
That is correct. That is kind of a new-ish phrase for traveling from your couch, essentially. And it's a way that you can discover destinations, sites, monuments, all from the comfort of your home without leaving your house, without waiting in lines. And there's actually tons of benefits. So I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, no kidding. So do you feel this is a growing trend? And maybe why is this appealing to people these days?
I do think it's a growing trend, and I think it's relatively new. So my understanding is that this really started getting a lot of momentum during COVID, when people were trapped and really craving those new authentic experiences and just like daydreaming about not being confined anymore. I think it got a lot of momentum. And I think that coupled with the rise of virtual tourism and now AI, it's like you're bringing in all of these elements that make virtual travel even easier.
So I guess what we're mentioning, you know, like new technology, and so leveraging that to bring your travels to life, how do you explain that to people that are maybe not as familiar with the virtual or the AI aspects of this?
I think there are a few different ways to think about it. Like for starters, you don't have to wait in line. And for another thing, there's some experiences that are going to cater well to a virtual experience compared to an in-person experience. For example, the Louvre, it would take you 10 years to spend 1 minute looking at every single piece of artwork. I might be exaggerating that statistic, but I don't think so. There is a crazy statistic out there about just how massive the Louvre is. But those are paintings. You could do a virtual tour of the Louvre and look at some of these incredible pieces of art and admire them and zoom in on them and read about them. And, you know, so you can get a lot of value out of that. You can't do a cooking class in Italy virtually. I mean, that's a little bit harder. You can get all the ingredients in your kitchen and follow along, but it's not quite the same as being in a kitchen with Nona. So I think there's different ways that virtual tourism can appeal to people based on what the activity is.
Well, I love the idea of maybe going to a museum or a library, presidential library, something like that. But doing it virtually, I always get in trouble when I go with people because I do want to read and look at everything. Sounds like a great benefit to me. What about just being able to be much more spontaneous when you're on maybe a virtual vacation?
That is so true. And I was actually just talking to a client today who said that even though she had booked tickets for a museum, they still had to wait in line for an hour to get in, which is crazy. And more museums and monuments have timed ticket slots now where you really need to like get there on time. And it's very regimented. And that's just to help the flow of people. But if you are doing virtual tourism, you never have to wait in those lines. You can visit multiple sites and museums in the same day, and you don't really need to plan in advance. You can just kind of go with your whimsy.
I am talking with Hillary Mattson, and Hillary is the owner-operator of Yugen Earthside Travel. Hillary, what about other benefits? You know, people still worry about their health, and also, is it free or cost-friendly? All of those types of things, that can really still help or hurt if you're trying to take a vacation.
You're so right. And those are, you've touched on some of the other great benefits. One is that virtual tourism is really, really great for travelers with mobility issues because you don't need to take any stairs. You don't need to worry about escalators. You don't need to worry about ramps. You don't need to worry about how long you're going to stand on your feet or where the nearest bathroom is. It's so much more comfortable to go at your own pace and be able to see all of these amazing things virtually.
Yeah. And some of these are free.
Yeah, I would say actually a lot, if not most of them are free because, you know, especially if you have a museum that's owned by the state or by a heritage foundation in a country, you know, maybe it costs something to visit in person. That's usually the case. But virtually, you know, they make this program once and it can reach so many more people and they might not need to charge or they might not need to charge the same amount as what they would charge somebody visiting physically in person. So it's a very cost-effective way to see the world.
So what if I'm still sitting here thinking, I still want to have my toes in the sand. But what would you say to me about considering a virtual vacation or traveling virtually?
I would say that it can enhance it, or it could even help you focus where you really want to go. Like you might do a virtual tour and think, wow, this is so spectacular. This is something I have to see in real life, like with my own eyeballs. I want to go to this country and really immerse myself in it. You could go the other way. You could see it and be like, you know what? That's cool, but I think I'm good. I'm going to use my precious vacation time and go somewhere else.
How do you suggest people try this? Is this something that you're able to help people with?
So I think it's very easy. Literally think of any destination or site or monument. Museums are especially good candidates. Think of something you want to see or do or experience and just search for a virtual tour or go to that museum or, you know, go to that museum's website directly, see if they offer some virtual experiences. You can also look for apps. I was recently in Rome and there's a Pantheon app and it costs like $2 and it's fantastic and it takes 30 minutes to listen to it. Yes, it's cooler if you're in in the Pantheon, but also you can get all that information if you buy a $2 app. So, you know, it's pretty cool the way that it can open up options. So I would think about what it is that you want to see or do, search for something either online or on an app. And then if you do really want to do a tour in that country, you know, in person, you can look for longer, more immersive experiences that include that or that would otherwise, you know, enhance your understanding of that destination.
Do you feel we have hit the future here? Is this part of the future of traveling?
I think it's going to evolve to at least one, if not more, layers. I'm not what people call an early adopter of technology, but I do feel like the path is really set with AI and VR, you know, virtual reality. So that is, I think that intersection is going to become more and more pronounced. I can completely envision a world where virtual tourism integrates with VR and you're wearing a headset and you are really, you know, you can turn and walk and you can explore places. That is not mainstream yet, but I absolutely think that that's going to happen in like 5 to 10 years.
And you feel like this really is going to sort of explode because it does give people many more options.
I think it could. Yeah. I think it's sort of just another alternative way of travel. And travel is always going through different waves and trends. You know, there's staycations or there's, you know, glamping. There's all kinds of different trends that the travel industry sees. But virtual tourism, because it is so accessible, it's so affordable, it's such a friendly way to travel for the planet because you're not emitting any carbon anywhere. So I think there's so many benefits that it's just going to become more and more common. The virtual experiences, they will only take you so far. I think there's a certain type of magic that comes with travel where you're smelling new things, you're talking to locals, you're learning about a place from a local guide who, you know, studied that in school or something like that. And I think part of that human touch magic can be hard or harder to get through a virtual experience. So I would say if there's a lot of virtual experiences that have piqued your interest, and it does make you want to visit that destination, but I would still encourage people to choose those destinations, maybe just more mindfully, maybe choose fewer destinations and stay in the destination for a longer period of time. But I think there's a lot of value still to be had from those immersive experiences in person.
Hillary Mattson, owner, operator, Yugen Earthside Travel, thank you for all this knowledge. It's fascinating.
You are so welcome.
Now, Terry says after she talked with Hillary, she searched for virtual tours on YouTube and found hundreds of options around the world. She's sharing some of her personal favorites in a story on our websites. So go to wgbw.fm or wiss.fm and find it in the news section.
V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N. The weather's warm, but we'll play it cool. We're on vacation, having lots of fun.
Whether you call them vacation days or PTO or spring break, whatever you call it, do it. There's an old saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. New Wisco Weekend commentator Amanda Nimmerer found this out the hard way. Learn from her mistakes. Here's Amanda.
Here's a quick story on why you shouldn't do what I've done, which is wait an entire year and 4 months before using any of my work vacation. Don't do this. Terrible advice. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. And for those of you sane people going, Amanda, why in the world did you do that? Well, originally I had no one to replace me. But even when I did, I still put it off. Because simply, I had nowhere to go and no money to take what I thought vacation should be used for, an actual vacation. Like going somewhere, do something fun, spend time with the family, maybe someplace a little warmer in the winter, I don't know. But I didn't have the funds, and my family didn't have the time, and it was literally mostly I didn't have the money to take an actual, like, in my mind, vacation. So I didn't. Which resulted in an absolute f***ing burnout, which not only affected my job, it affected my home life, and my mentality was in the crapper. It was bad. It was pretty bad. I truly do not recommend it. So I finally, a couple weeks ago, took a whole week of vacation. And the first few days I was stressed because I was worried that I was going to get fired for something not getting covered. I was going to be coming back to an absolute chaotic mess or something. I don't know. But what happened instead was everything was fine. It really wasn't that big a deal to take the vacation. And I can't even begin to explain the weight lifted off my shoulders from that. So I bet you're wondering, since you're saying that a vacation isn't a vacation unless you go somewhere, what did you do for an entire week? I stayed home and I played video games. I slept in a couple days. And I just lounged around the house. That's all I did. I did a little staycation. And I will say, going into it, I'm like, this is gonna suck. A vacation isn't a vacation unless I got something to do. But honestly, I really needed to be re-immersed into my home environment again. Because the stress of going so long on E had clouded what my reality became. And I needed a reset. And that's what your vacation should be used for. You need a reset. And yes, our jobs may be important, but what's more important is taking care of yourself. Because the best piece of advice I've ever gotten from my mother, which is like the only piece of advice I really ever got from her, is if you can't take care of yourself, how do you expect to take care of someone else? And that someone else is including your job, which affects not only yourself, but your coworkers and whatever company you happen to be working with. Or in my case, those of you who get to listen to me rant once a weekend, twice a weekend. Saturdays and Sundays, guys. So don't do what I've done. Don't wait 16 months to use your vacation. Please learn from my mistakes. And if you're worried, if you're scared, because who knows what might happen while you're gone, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my kids. Take a break, take a breath, and try again. Last part doesn't necessarily fit, but you see my point. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go. D-A-C-A-T-I-O-N, we're gonna have a ball. Go!
Coming up, how a Wisconsin-based musician is letting his travels guide his songwriting. And before we go to break, we learned earlier in this issue, most virtual tourism is free. But if you're traveling somewhere this spring, AAA shows the cost is up for both airfare at an average of $800 and hotel rooms running around $700 for 5 nights. If you're renting a car, it will be about the same price as last year. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm Lisa Hale. I hope you've enjoyed this issue with its focus on travel. And we couldn't find a more perfect musician to end New Wisco Weekend than Sam Ness. He's based in Wisconsin, but spends much of his time traveling the world. Terry Barr sits down with Sam to learn how where he's been is the inspiration behind many of his songs.
Truck pulled over to the side of the road, said, where are you trying to go? So I throw my guitar in the back, say, hell, I don't know. Well, I got things to see and I got itchy feet, I hit the road. And I got nowhere to be, and I got this hunger in me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I follow in your footsteps, Alexander. I need to find the truth. For your cause, you were a martyr, so here's to you. Well, I got things to see, and I got itchy feet. I hit the road, and I got nowhere to be, and I got this hunger in me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The song you are listening to right now is called Alexander, and it is done by singer-songwriter Sam Ness. And Sam joins us. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me back on the show, Ms. Terry Barr.
So this song, Alexander, what is it about?
I wrote that when I was hitchhiking through the Outer Hebrides outside of Scotland. I was 18, and I was wandering through kind of like the West Coast, and I met a guy in the hostel, and we shot some pool, and he said, hey, I've got a hostel out in the Hebrides. You should come visit. I said, all right, sure. And a couple of days later, all the money that I had saved up was gone, and you know, I was 18. I didn't know any better. I spent it all on pints and fish and chips, and I had like 40, 50 pounds left, and I was like, all right, I should be able to make that work for the next 3 weeks. I was walking down the middle of town in Oban, and something caught my eye right after I bought my ticket out to the islands, and it was the headstock of a guitar that was shiny. It was like a tuning machine that had glimmered like something out of a movie, right? It's like a cliche. And I looked at the price tag, and it was the exact amount of money that I had left. And so I spent the last dime I had on this guitar, and I spent the next 3 weeks hitchhiking through the Hebrides, just kind of trading songs for like food and places to stay and making friends as I went. And so that song was kind of an ode to that trip, but also for the inspiration that pushed me to go out. Alexander Supertramp from Into the Wild is the kind of shout out in that song.
What a beautiful story. You did so much of that over time. And of course, you did so much busking. Are you still going to do some of that? Or do you feel like maybe that's a little bit in the past now?
Actually, recently, some of that has come back up. Some festivals that I've been lucky enough to kind of work my way into have been trying to reach out and do more stuff with pro buskers. I think that there's been a really cool push online lately that recognizes buskers as independent talent, because a lot of them, their craft is street performance. Like if you put them on a main stage, that's not where they feel at home. And I was that way for quite a while. And so to appreciate and respect them as an art form in itself, I think is really cool. It's also a really strange time right now. You know, economy is tough all over the world, and post-pandemic, a lot of buskers had to find a way to make it work that wasn't busking, because there wasn't a lot of tourism around. There wasn't a lot of people out on the street with extra money. And sadly, a lot of the people that were pro buskers for decades just don't do it anymore. And the scene has shifted a lot. And I still have such a passion for playing in the street, and it really fills my battery quickly. So I try to go down and do it in Madison when I can. But I have a special spot actually on the wall behind me for a bulletin board for all the street performing citations that I've gotten. And it's only growing.
Sam for the president of the Buskers Union. I like that. Now, before we let you go, wow, this song is gorgeous. And I've heard so much of your music, but somehow I missed this one. She Is Love. I had to listen to it several times, because every time I did, it meant something different to me. But what do you hope people get from it?
I've had so many people ask me questions that I never would have imagined were questions people would get from that song. When I was writing that song, there was a question that I had at the time kind of been repeating to myself all over and over. When faced with a decision, what is the most loving thing to do of these two options? And if love was here, what would love tell me? And so I decided to give love its own embodiment. And so throughout the song, I'm explaining all the things that love would tell me. And then I felt like it was owed a grand explanation in the bridge when it just comes down to she is love. That's
who she
is.
Sometimes I find silence in dark and deafening rooms. Neon serves its purpose. I fill the space above a stool. Sometimes I hear whispers in a cacophony of noise.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at travel and spring break. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News, saying bon voyage and be unstoppable.
She points my eyes towards the sky and says sometimes the stars feel that way too.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.